Our sermon text this morning comes to us from Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading from the second chapter, verses 22 through 40, from the paraphrase, The Message. Listen now for God's word to us. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice the pair of doves or two pigeons prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, Simeon entered the temple. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. It is now out in the open for everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel. A figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are." Anna, the prophetess, was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required in God's law, they returned to Galilee and their own town, Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. For the word in creation, for the word in spirit, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For all of you who are over 40 that are here today, this sermon is for you. And for those of you who are under 40, this sermon should give you great hope for the second part of your life of discipleship. It should give you great hope that discipleship in the second part of life is not about standing on the sidelines or warming the pews. Because the best is yet to come. If you are under 40 and you think that you're in the prime of your life right now, well, I'm here to tell you that you are just getting warmed up. I am here to tell you that the best day of my life happened when I was 105. God's resilient people finish strong. But I get ahead of myself. My name is Anna, and my name means grace. My story is found in Luke's gospel. It's part of the infancy narratives of Jesus, and it's usually read at Christmas time. My biblical biography is only 3 verses long. So you may have never paid much attention to it before, and that's understandable. Like most Jewish girls who were my age in my time, first century Palestine, I was married when I was 14 years old. But a long marriage was not in God's plan for me, because after only 7 short years, my husband died suddenly. Now, my friends and my neighbors urged me to marry again, that I might have children to take care of me, especially sons in my old age, but that was not God's call on my life. God had called me, much like God called Simeon, to serve out my days in the temple at Jerusalem. The greatest joy in my life did not come in my childhood or even in the time that I was married, although those were wonderful years. I came from a loving family. I had a loving husband. But the greatest joy of my life was during my time serving in the temple and learning about God's purposes, who God was and who I was in relationship to God. For Simeon and me, it was so true that better was one day in God's house than 1,000 elsewhere. And we waited our whole life long for the coming of the Messiah. Times were hard. Many of our people were starving, and we lived under the oppressive boot of Rome. We clung to the hope of God's words through the prophet Isaiah, who says, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." And so the hope of our faith was our anchor. And we prayed day and night for the redemption of Israel. We prayed day and night, week after week, month after month, year after year. We prayed through the springtime, the summer, the autumn, and the winter of our lives. The day started out like any other day. It was very ordinary. Parents came in all the time to have their male children circumcised to receive the mark of the promise. And when Mary and Joseph came in that day, I didn't pay much attention until I heard Simeon burst into song. I could barely believe my ears. Could it be true what he was saying? Could it be true that this was the Messiah? Before I fully comprehended what was happening, Mary was coming towards me, and she took the baby Jesus and cradled him in my frail arms, and I looked at him with my failing eyesight. Immediately, our eyes locked, and it was as if time stood still. Deep calls to deep, as the scripture said, and I knew in an instant who he was. The words of the prophet Isaiah filled my soul. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So from that day out, I lived out my calling in the Jerusalem temple, telling all with ears to hear that redemption had not only come for Israel, but for all of God's people. And just as God saved the finest wine at the wedding of Cana for last, after all the other wine had given out, God had provided the best gift of my life when I was 105 years old. And the best part of my discipleship was sharing that gift from there forward. The Bible is full of God's resilient people who finish strong, people like Simeon and me. In the Old Testament, who can forget Abraham and Sarah? Remember them? Sarah became a mother at age 90 and Abraham at 100. And as the writer of Hebrews says, therefore to one, and one who was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. God's resilient people finished strong. Moses, remember him? He was 80 years old when God called him and his brother Aaron. Aaron was, Moses said, don't call me, I'm slow of speech. And God said, well, take Aaron, he'll be your mouthpiece. Well, Aaron was Moses' older brother. And God called them and used them to deliver the people, God's people, from the slavery and bondage of Egypt. God's resilient people finish strong. Perhaps you remember the biblical character Caleb. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent out. You remember they were wandering in the wilderness and Moses sent 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of Israel, to go into the promised land and to scout it out. When they came back, Caleb, only Caleb, and Joshua were the only two that came back with a good report. The other 10 discouraged the people. They said, it's too dangerous. We can't go in there. Years later, after they finally crossed over the River Jordan and Caleb was standing right by Joshua, Caleb declares, I am 85 years old, but I have the strength of a 45-year-old. So give me the hill country. Now the hill country was a place of walled cities, and it was rumored to be inhabited by men who were giants. Who would want an assignment like that? The old guy. Why? Because God's resilient people finish strong. God's resilient people finish strong. And then there was the old priest Eli. Remember Eli? Eli wasn't much of a priest. He didn't do such a great job as being a spiritual leader, and he was even a worse father. In fact, he should have been fired for cause. But something happened at the end of his life, and this little boy named Samuel, a woman named Hannah, whose name is the same name basically as mine, Anna, who means grace, brought her little boy to the temple, and he studied under old Eli. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the whole history of Israel. God's resilient people finish strong. And then there are all of God's resilient people that are in the New Testament. God's people. Can you remember some of them, like old Elizabeth and Zechariah? They were well advanced in years, the scripture tells us. And God gave them a child, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, in the twilight of their lives, when they should have been grandparents, not parents. Not only that, but Elizabeth became the confidant and the mentor of Mary, the mother of our Lord. God's resilient people finished strong. And then there were the disciples. As far as I know, when they were called, they were in more of the spring, maybe the summer of their lives. They certainly weren't octogenarians and nonagenarians or centenarians, but they were second career folks, second career disciples. And tradition tells us that every single one of them, except for John, was martyred for their faith. They gave everything that they had for the sake of the gospel. God's resilient people finished strong. And then there was a guy named Saul, perhaps the greatest enemy of the church. After he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he got a name change. He became Paul, and he became the greatest missionary to the Gentile world. He worked well into his later years traveling and establishing churches throughout the Mediterranean basin. God's resilient people finished strong. Are there any grandparents here? Perhaps you remember a grandma named Lois. Lois passed her faith not only to her daughter Eunice, but also to her grandson, Timothy. Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey, and Timothy joined Paul and Silas on their journey and their evangelistic efforts. I wonder how things might have worked out differently had Grandma Lois not shared her faith with her grandson, Timothy. God's resilient people finish strong. I'm here to tell you today that there is no retirement from discipleship, that God wants us to give our best towards establishing God's kingdom on earth using the gifts that God has generously shared with us throughout every age of our lives. God's resilient people finish strong. As wonderful as the legacies of these faith giants of our Bible are, let us, as the writer of Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, so that we will not grow faint or weary or lose heart. The gospel writer Luke has called me a prophetess, and I suppose that's what I am. I was a woman who shared with everything that I had the good news of Jesus Christ to all with ears to hear. That was my calling in life. Perhaps you've never heard my story before today, and that's just fine with me, because it's really not about any of us. It's about our Lord and using our very best to make God's love real, tangible, felt, and experienced in the world. Because God's resilient people finish strong. And now to the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church, both now and forever. Amen. As we leave today, remember that Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands through which Christ touches the world. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. Yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go and be Christ's body.